The Unpublished Podcast with Amy and James.
Hello, artists and creatives, and welcome to another episode of the Unpublished Podcast. My name is Amy.
I'm James, and we're still doing the old intro, it seems. Despite many conversations about it.
Well, you start.
Okay. I'm James, and this is Amy, and we're doing the Unpublished Podcast.
Yeah, nice.
So stupid. My contention is, and if you just bear with me for a second, reader/listener, that we don't need an intro.
No, we can just go straight in.
We can just go straight in.
You're right. Okay, James, well then go straight in. What have you got to say today?
So I want to do a life update for a few minutes. I'll put a timestamp in the description for where you can skip to if you don't care about our life, which
is rude.
First of all, super rude. I'm going to try and keep it brief. We're back in England. We were in Australia. We did one podcast in Australia despite wanting to record many, mostly because our Rode Wireless 2 mics are pieces of shit. And I negative recommend them to anyone. They require a million cables, none of which come in the box. And we kept ordering cables, getting the wrong cables or not getting enough cables. Anyway, whatever. Fuck them.
Honestly, we've had like the last like few hours, James has just been battling with them. They're Rode mics. No.
Yeah.
Honestly, unless they want to schmooze their way back into our lives with some free shit and some better products, I'm so fucking done with them.
I will give them another go because we've already paid like $300 for the whole kit. So I'm not buying another mic. So I'll try and make it work when finally in like August, all the cables come.
Literally.
Anyway, we wanted to go on a walk to do this podcast, but we're doing it at home with our good mics. So at least we have the good mics. That makes me happy.
Sure.
Sure. The Shure, I think it's the SMB7.
We approve.
Which is, to be fair, considerably more expensive than the Rode mics.
Ridiculously, but
It was our whole tax return in like 2021 was on these mics. So,
How was Australia?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was a lot for me.
If you're looking at the video, I'm tanned. So is Amy.
Well, I actually kind of look equal tan. You got pretty tan, James.
Am I naturally more olive skinned than you?
Fuck off. No. This isn't a life update. Anyway, so we were in Australia. It was a lot for me. Like, we just came off the back of finishing the first draft, in inverted commas, of the We Need Your Art book. We handed that into the publishers, and then we basically left straight away to go to Australia. We needed to go see a few people. And then we had 3 weeks there. And it was, like, extremely taxing for me. It was socially probably the most hectic 3 weeks of my life. Like, every single day I was seeing three or four people. It was a lot. Worked a lot. We did an incredible workshop. Was on the radio. That was all really fun. The work stuff I loved. And I loved obviously seeing my friends. It just was really socially taxing for me. So we've come back. And I feel like despite the fact that I've taken 3 weeks off, really, I feel pretty fucked up.
My social battery is maybe 10x bigger than Amy's.
Yeah, I would say it's honestly 10 times bigger.
And more rechargeable by like 30 minutes off. I still do find social engagements to be hard for an extended period, but at least I'm usually having a good time, and it takes like 3 or 4 hours before I want to peace out. Whereas I would say Amy wants to peace out after one or two.
Are you serious? Less? Like, give me 20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay. Interesting. It's interesting though, because when we run a workshop, you could stay there for 10 hours.
I could.
Because it's like a different, it's just a mindset difference. It's like, this is social, this is work.
I loved the Sydney workshop, and if you were listening and you attended the Sydney workshop, I love you. I love that I got to meet with you. It was such a fun day.
It's so fun. I think that is what we want to be doing, really. We want to be doing as much live teaching as we can, because one, I think Amy's really, really, really good at it.
Thank you.
I think you're better at it almost than you are at writing.
God.
You're very good at both, but I think you are like weirdly good teaching live.
Yeah.
Including online.
Yeah, I absolutely. I just think that this year I want to be in communion with creatives. I want to be with you. I want to sit with you. I want to hear from you. And so that's going to be something we talk about today.
We'll mention it later in the episode, but we are coming to the US in May, and we're going to do workshops in San Francisco and Los Angeles. We were thinking about doing Austin and
New York,
but the cost up front for us at the moment We have other things on. We just thought we can't add on 2 extra weeks. We're going to save it for the book tour. Even though we're hoping that the workshop does essentially pay for the travel, but you can never know in advance. And I think it's better off, we're better off taking a lower risk and waiting for the book tour.
Yeah, I agree. Wait, when we have the book to sell.
Because to be clear, like when you get a publishing deal, there's no promise that they're going to fly you around on a book tour. Like,
in fact, I doubt they will.
They probably won't. And so we're probably going to have to do it all out of our own pocket.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of thing we have to prepare for.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think, just as a side note, when we went into this publishing deal, like, you know, we've heard from so many authors with publishing contracts, like I felt so unsupported, like they just weren't there in the way that I thought they were going to be through the marketing of my book. And so our perspective is, you know, we're treating this book like it's our own business. Like, we're going to support it financially, we're going to back it, you know, in the ways that we would normally back it if we self-pubbed, just so that we're not vulnerable to what expecting the world from publishers who may or may not support us.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a really good experience so far. But
we have incredible experience so far.
I think it would be, they've already exceeded expectations. To expect them to continue to exceed expectations, I think, is asking a lot.
Yeah. No, so, we got to meet Ashwin, who was the Australian publisher who initially approached us, which was so amazing. And yeah, and then I bumped into him again at a pub.
Yeah, crazy.
It was so lovely. Lovely to meet him.
And I was going to say something. Are we saying what we're doing in LA in May? This exciting reason you're going over? Or have you announced that yet?
No, I haven't announced it.
Do you want
it.
To? Or
Am I allowed to?
I have no idea.
I've never thought about it.
Amy's going on a very, very, very big podcast. Maybe we can't say what it is, but just a big podcaster who lives in LA, like a top 10 in the world podcast, which we are flying over for.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Actually, I'm so excited. I love going on podcasts. I feel very confident in my ability to chat a lot of shit with hopefully some golden little bits in that, and I'm really excited to be a part of this.
I'm excited for you too.
Yeah, I've never thought about whether I'm allowed to talk about it. They didn't say I couldn't.
Maybe we can look in the emails to check, but anyway, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. So that's coming up in May. So now we're kind of waiting for the edits to come back on We Need Your Art. My sister's coming over in a few weeks. We've got a lot of different projects we want to get up and running. We want to kind of get back into flow state. And so we thought in this podcast, we could, how would I say?
I guess the whole podcast is going to be a life update, because we are going to run you through the projects we have for this year. We're going to talk about the pros and cons for us of planning and not planning. And we're going to kind of in real time, walk you through us trying to plan a year of creativity.
Yeah. So come with us as we do something that we actually really struggle with, which is plan our year.
Okay, so this is where we're starting the real podcast.
Yeah, unless you have any other life updates you want to say.
Also, we're getting shredded.
Oh, also we're getting shredded. James is in his shredding era. We're hitting the gym, bodybuilding style.
If I could just explain, it's like, I think both of us we're pretty happy with our aesthetic appearance.
Of course, we're smoking.
I have had a few issues, like I have sleep apnea, and the doctor advised I lose 10 kilos, because it doesn't really matter if it's muscle or fat, like you just it disrupts the airway.
Yeah.
And I just have been having a lot of back issues. Once again, like I'm 100 kilos walking around. I feel pretty good at 100 kilos, but it is starting to put some wear and tear. That's like 225 pound, by the way, if you're American. It just does put more strain on the joints and the back and the ability to breathe when I'm asleep. So, I mean, that's a big motivation for me. So I'm just kind of trying to alleviate some of those things and lose a bit of weight.
Yeah, I just want to get big muscles. Something that I've loved and really changed my relationship to my body is to understand that my body can do incredible things, especially as a woman. Like I love seeing what I can lift. I love seeing how far, you know, how strong she can be. So for me, I'm kind of joining James in a different way, more in like a let's see how much muscle I can put on. Let's see what I can do.
And also, I want to kind of run faster too, because I've been able to lift a lot of weight in my life. I've never really been able to jog very well. So as I've probably shared a few times on the podcast, I'm into jogging at the moment. Would be much easier for me to jog if I was 90 kilos rather than 100.
Yeah. So that's probably our biggest life updates.
Yeah.
Love to eat some more vegetables as well. Australia was not big on the vegetable front.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I have a big whiteboard to my right, and I've written down a content section, a book section, and then kind of like an everything else section, and then like some kind of small task section. I just want to say, like, this is going to be a chaotic podcast, because the way that we function and the way that we plan our business is chaos.
I wanted to start off with a meta-analysis of that. So I wanted to start off by being like, so we have tried to plan our lives multiple times in our career for 7 or 8 years now, and it always just disintegrates. Fizzles. I think we even have a podcast episode where we walk you through our planned routines that I think
never happened.
Failed after a couple of weeks or less.
Less.
And to be clear, we have routine and we have touch points in the day, like when we write, but then the rest of it all just floats around. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly in this push and pull of, would we enjoy our lives more? Would we feel more accomplished? Like, would we find it easier if we just had a real rigid set routine? And the answer is probably not. Maybe, I don't know.
We don't know. And I think we've always really struggled to stick to rigid routine. And I don't think rigid routine is what we need, but I'm inviting a little bit more routine in at the moment because we have really big goals right now. Like, we have a huge hunger for a lot of writing at the moment. Like, I'm looking at multiple books at once. I want to be creating and writing a lot more than I am. I also have, like, I have huge amounts of content I want to be creating. You have content you want to be creating. We've got courses we want to do. We've got so many side projects. Like, I think that it's too much for me to look at all of this today. Like, I could feel my central nervous system, like, really wind up. Road mics didn't help. Road mics did not help the central nervous system at all. But I think that I need, if I want to be this ambitious, I'm going to need a little bit more structure. And that's going to come probably at a bit of me feeling a bit uncomfortable. Same with you.
Yeah, I agree. But what we also talked about earlier when we were chatting about this over coffee was, we're not really trying to make, you know, rigid blocks in the day. We're trying to say, what small steps do we need to do each day? And that is a much more helpful way for us to approach it. Might not work for you, but with lots of trial and error over a long, long time, I think it's like, we just need to have almost a list, even in our head, of the small step I need to take each day for each thing. And then they will kind of naturally fall into place.
Yeah.
Because something else we were talking about is, we have no idea how we've gotten all this work done in the last 8 years.
It's something I think about all the time. Like, I will look James in the eye and I will say, how? I don't write. I rarely write. I also feel this way about reading. I'm like, I rarely read. Like, how have I written books? How have I read books?
Like, I also feel like I'm just sitting around all day and then I look at the end of the year and I'm like, I wrote a book. I read 50 books or more. We did this course. I'm like, when did this happen? And what? Like, my life feels much quieter than the output ends up suggesting. So I'm like, am I lying to myself? Or
it's so hard to understand. I think I have a feeling it might be something to do with flow state, like how we often aren't really aware of what we get done when we're in flow, or the fact that we do such little sections at a time. Like, we're not spending hours and hours and hours, you know, at once. You know, they're not big. I have no idea, but I think I can imagine that you might resonate as an artist. Like, how do we get what we wanted to get done? Because it does end up done.
Yeah, it doesn't. Somehow, I guess it doesn't for everyone. Like, for years, I wanted to write and I never wrote anything. And then suddenly something happened and I was writing again. I don't remember writing the We Need Your Art book. That somehow got done.
Yeah.
And I think we worked on it quite hard, but did we?
What did we write?
I don't know.
I honestly couldn't tell you what's in that book.
I think you're onto something with the flow state, because both of us, I think, are quite flowy writers. Like, if I watch you write, even though you're bouncing around a bit and you're a little bit hyperactive, it's still hard to break you out of that when you're in the zone. And for me as well, it's like,
oh, there's no breaking you out of it.
45 minutes in the morning just goes, bam, it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like, Amy went for a run yesterday while I was writing, and then she got back and I was like, aren't you going for a run? And she goes, you just wrote 500 words of your novel. You don't realize it's been 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that's so what happens. Like, it feels like a second. And it's
accumulative.
Yeah.
But I find it quite disorientating and sometimes a bit upsetting, because especially when we're planning, I'm almost disconnected to the way that I work, because I'm like, okay, so if we want to get done, like, we're about to talk you through what we want to get done. If we want to get this all done, like, how can we do it? And I've got no memory of how I've done anything in my life.
That's why I think it's choosing the small steps, because the small steps are what get us into flow, I think. So it's like creating opportunity for the time to disappear for us.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Is my idea. So, you know, you want to write, how many books do you want to write this year?
Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, would you talk about it?
Yeah. So we're writing Space Story 69, which probably almost certainly will have a different title at the end of this, which is mine and James's book. So we're about to enter draft 2 of that. Well, really, I've done a read through and I'm writing notes. If you're watching the video version, you can see behind me there's a noteboard full of notes for it. So that's a split project. Yesterday it was my birthday and I was gifted my next book idea. by the gods on my birthday. James, do not point to yourself.
Am I a god?
Shut up.
Is that what you're saying?
You didn't gift it to me.
I feel like I was heavily involved in the ideation.
No, you know what? For me, ideation is so supported when I get to speak, especially with James. When I get to bounce off ideas off of someone, that's when I feel most alive and the best at ideating.
It was awesome.
So we're calling it... Why are all of our title names so dirty?
Because we're children.
It's called The Porn Press. And it's going to be... people always say don't give your ideas away too early, but I feel confident in this one.
I like it.
It's going to look at...
Also, to be clear, it's an idea. It's were fragments of ideas that were floating around for a long time. And I feel like you found the way to put them together yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a story about the printing press in the early... I'm thinking like... late 1500s in the UK. My background as someone who studied like medieval pornography and Renaissance pornography looks at like this underground world of people writing like dirty poems and people drawing like erotica and sharing it in these underground systems. So I'm going to look at basically a woman run erotica publishing house.
Very cool.
Very cool. And I would love to have that done by the end of the year, at least in some sort of form. Then we obviously have Jack, who we're trying to sell. So she doesn't really need a huge amount of attention. We need your art needs to be done. Then I need the proposals for the next nonfictions. And I'm guessing I might want to have started on those next nonfictions.
Yeah. So, and then when you think about your day at the moment.
Yeah.
What does it look like? And how are we going to fit those in? So it's like, at the moment you do have a block. So you always journal in the morning.
Yes.
That always happens.
Yes.
No matter what. Yes. 45 minutes of journal. Then I feel like it's like what happens next is a really key choice.
And this is so interesting because this is Amy's golden hour. Mm. So it's like this is when I'm at my very best. I've just journaled. It's the morning. My coffee's kicked in. Whoever gets this first hour is very, very lucky.
Yes.
And over the last few days, just since we've been home, it's been Space Story 69. And maybe it stays like that for a little bit. I don't know. Or does porn publishers get it? Porn press. You know, then we'll get the We Need Your Art project back and I'm going to have to look at the edits and that probably will take my first morning.
Yeah, and it's like how many blocks then can you devote throughout the day to these sort of projects and how many small steps do we want to take throughout the day?
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, well, what are actually the small steps for Porn Press? It's probably just to start the first draft. So it would be 300 to 500 words a day.
Yeah. I would love to spend a little bit of time on some research, but it could be simultaneous.
Okay, so Space Story Draft 2 gets done in that first golden block at the moment.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty quick to finish the second draft, do you think?
Yeah, I'm nearly done with the notes and stuff and figuring out what we want to do for Draft 3.
Okay, so the small steps for that are actually writing Space Story 69?
No, it's not. It's finishing off the outline and then adding in the chapters for the next draft.
Because I've done my half and Amy hasn't quite finished her half, but we wanted to... see the whole.
It's actually been really challenging
to see what to add
writing a book together. Not just because
awesome,
he's a dick.
I am. So, Amy.
Yes.
I feel like, given that information, I'm sorry how rambly this is going to come out to
you. Yeah, this is fine.
It's like real time how Amy and I talk about
projects. You're in our meeting.
So, what I'm seeing here is that Porn Press gets that first slot.
Yes, after I finish this little next section.
Because I've always felt like you don't need to give nonfiction that slot. Because nonfiction for
very
both of us
brains.
Is very different brain.
Even when I get my We Need Your Art edits back. Yeah, I think you're right.
I agree. I think that... And the whole time you were writing We Need Your Art, I don't think you did it in the morning.
No, I don't think I did it either. I was working on Jack for a bit.
Mm.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, I think without trying to be a bro scientist and knowing zero about this, basically, but having heard it on a few podcasts, Circle Jerk podcasts. My understanding is that there may be some difference in... logical versus creative thinking between the morning and afternoon.
Mm, yeah. I must say, like, and also because We Need Your Art has a hard timeline.
Yes.
Like, it will get done if it's not done in the morning. Whereas something like my fiction, because she doesn't have a hard line because there's no publisher asking for it, like, that can easily get pushed. And so if it's in the afternoon, it's easy to pull her off the agenda altogether.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas there's almost no danger that you'll miss a deadline for We Need Your Art.
No, there's no danger.
It's so funny because we worked for so long only with our own deadlines. As soon as we got an external deadline, we were like, oh.
It's nice. I like it.
It was nice.
Yeah, I really like it. I would love to have external deadlines.
Yeah.
It's a fucking pain in the beehole having to do it yourself.
You can just make deadlines for yourself, but it doesn't work. I guess the way we've done that in the past is that you've hired editors. Like, we have hired an editor for Space Story, and
we will have to push that.
We'll have to push it because we just will. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't got on top of it quick enough.
Australia took 3 weeks out of our schedule, which
for
was
fuck's sake, Australia.
I know. Interesting.
So we've got like probably just I want to finish off 69. Then I'm gonna start on this porn press for that morning slot. Great. And then when we need your art comes back, it will be an afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's from like 11 or 12. Like after breakfast, maybe after the gym, then you have another slot in the afternoon. Yeah. Unless you need a nap. Naps can really throw a curveball into the whole equation.
I nap less in the winter because I get too disturbed at how little daylight there is. In the summer, I'll have a good long nap.
Winter's going, though.
It is going. Okay, can I talk about all the other things?
Yes.
Or do you want to go over to your morning first?
My morning is always just my main fiction project.
Yes.
And then usually some Fortnite with my friends.
You gotta have it. You're about to finish this novel, though.
I'm about to finish draft 3 of my current fantasy novel.
Yeah. And then will you swap to 69?
Then I think I'll have to swap to 69. I'll have to do a 69.
Such a dumb title. Or is it fantastic?
Maybe it's great. Maybe we should just keep it. So then I get to do 69 after that, because I think it's a little bit more urgent to, while you're maybe doing first draft of Porn Press, then it'll be a good time for me to go over and do edits on 69. Mind you, then you will not have added your chapters.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So will I just be editing my stuff, knowing
that my chapters come in?
And knowing what's going to be in your chapters? Okay, that won't take me long.
No, I don't think it will.
That'll take me a few weeks.
No.
A few months?
Yeah.
Two months.
2 months.
And then I think I have to go back to EIL, which is my fantasy novel. Because I think it's in actually, I'm a bit sad to leave it because I feel like I finally got it into a place I'm not totally upset about.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to leave her.
I know. But maybe it'll be good to leave it again.
Just for a little bit.
Yeah. And then once I've done my second draft of, it's going to be really interesting because I think it's going to be a lot of swapping between drafts.
Yeah, it will be.
So I'll do my second draft of Space Story and then I'll do my fourth draft of EIL.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably go back once you've come through.
Yeah.
And do my third draft of Space Story. Yeah. And then it'll be done. Although if we want to have this editor work on it, we might just have to really knuckle down and
get Space Story
and
done.
Get Space Story done.
Let's see how we go.
That's
what it's like.
It's all going to work out. Like, this is, I don't understand how it's all going to work out, but it just is.
My books will just get written.
And I think that's something, being this deep into the journey now, I have so much trust.
Yeah.
I'm like, these things are going to get done. I'm not stressed about this at all.
No.
I'm stressed about my taxes. I'm not stressed about this. Will my taxes get done? I don't know. I hope so.
In the past, sometimes they haven't.
Sometimes they haven't, but this will get done.
Yeah. Okay. I want to look at all the other things I have on the whiteboard. Mm-hmm. London workshop, LA workshop, San Francisco workshop. So we have 3 workshops we want to get done. The San Fran and LA one will be in May. So we need to look at places and stuff. And it's like, when does that happen? Like, I know it will happen, but when will I do it? When it's urgent? Because I wish I wouldn't do it like that.
Yeah. It'll be when it feels a bit urgent. I do think that's true.
Which
might be like 3 months before. Is it already 3 months before? It probably is, isn't it?
February, March, April, May. It is 3 months before. Yeah,
maybe it'll be 2 months before.
And the problem is, I think, is often because I only do things when they feel urgent, we often have a very quick sales period, which lets us down in terms of just finding the people that want to come and giving them time to decide whether they want to be there.
I mean, look at Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift sells concert tickets like how long in advance? An hour? A year in advance. That's the opposite.
Is it a year?
I think it might be a year.
Yeah, I guess because people want to come from far and wide.
Yeah.
For Tay Tay.
Yeah, which I guess we don't have the same draw, unfortunately.
It's close, though.
Can I just say, what did she charge for a ticket? Like $800?
No.
Yeah. It seems kind of fucked up to me. I mean, I guess it's supply and demand. I mean, she's incredibly successful and talented. She deserves to charge whatever she wants, obviously. But like, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. It's amazing.
I'm not actually upset. I'm just amazed.
I don't know enough information to know whether I should be upset or not.
Maybe it's 400. I don't know.
Yeah, we've got very little information here.
Yeah, true.
I
don't. Just to be clear, we're not charging $400 for a ticket to our workshop. We're not Tay Tay. We haven't earned our stripes like Tay Tay has.
Again, so like, do we schedule in workshop time? Like, is it like, okay, so by this time in the month, I want the workshops to have been booked and sold. Like, is that how we do
it? Okay, so I think in this specific case, Yes, I think we should try hard deadlines. I think it's like hard deadlines for non-creative work, like for business work, and softer schedules for creative work, I think is way better. So you're going to put it into your calendar right now?
No, I'm just looking at, I want to have a look at the...
Why does that say Warhammer 11 a.m.?
It always goes back to July 2023.
This is the problem. This is why we can't have a schedule, because we're not in July 2023.
Exactly. And why does it say 11 Warhammer? It's so stupid. See, look, it's still there.
Wow. Go, Amy, go. Anyway.
Okay, so I want a time limit for these workshops. So when will the LA and San Fran workshop be organized by? It is the 17th today.
So we should have picked a space.
Yes.
And sent inquiries by...
A week?
A week from now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Is this the most boring podcast episode we've ever done?
I feel like it could be like ASMR-y in the background.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully it's ASMR-ing you. ASMR. Ooh, tippy-tappy. Ooh.
Okay, you're very bad at that. Okay. Yeah.
What about this?
No, listen. I'm actually literally tippy-tapping.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
An inquiry sent. Okay.
That,
and then...
That says... James.
I'll understand.
Wow.
Okay.
And you think mechanical keyboards are good?
They're incredible. London workshop. So that will be pre-San Fran.
So we should probably have done that. You know, if we do it at the same time, that's totally fine.
Okay. So this will include London on this as well.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're going
to have to just pick some. If any of you know a space, if in any London, of you are from California...
Oh, yeah.
Or from
anywhere.
London or England, and you know about a space where we could run a workshop,
we would love to.
Isn't like a lot of the problem is a lot of them are like, run your corporate retreat here, and they're targeting, I don't know, Accenture or
and they have so
Amazon,
much money,
and they're like, pay $50,000 for your 5-day retreat at this hotel, and that's not what we want.
It's not what we want.
We want like a 50 to maybe 100, to 100 person venue with some seats.
That would be lovely.
Which and we'll do all the work.
Okay. That's great. I like having that.
Mm.
Okay, so the collective opens. I have no idea when, and that is a terrible thing to admit publicly.
It'll be about a month from now. I'm so sorry.
No.
Yeah, it's March. It's always March.
Oh my God. Okay, so again, this is something that we're really behind on, and if you want to look, this is business planning. This is us planning our business. So what I really wanted to do this for this season's collective opening is I really wanted to do a free masterclass.
Uh-huh.
So we'll need to be organizing that and promoting that really soon.
Okay, I think that should happen on, what has happened to the mouse? Oh my, Amy has three monitors, and honestly, it is so triggering for me trying to get the mouse around to all of them. I think this should happen on the week of the 26th.
My sister will be here, but she can handle that.
Okay. Okay. What about if it was on the Saturday?
The second?
The second.
Okay.
And that's going to be super easy for us to set up. It's just making a Demio, increasing the class size for Demio, and just putting it out in the newsletter.
Okay. And now you guys know that if you would love to come to a free class and have a look at what we do in the Inspire Collective Weekly, that there will be a free class coming up, possibly. In fact, let's just say it. It's going to be on the 2nd of March.
And I think we should do two to get all the time zones.
Yes, great. Okay.
So it's going to be like two free 1-hour masterclasses from AMO.
Times two. Perfect.
As a little bit of a sales thing. And then we can link them to an early sign-up page for the collective maybe
That's
after
lovely.
That or something like
That's
that.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I would love to get the actual date of the Inspire Collective opening. Emma will know.
You know what? We won't link to an early sign-up page because it's kind of important that they roll at the same time.
Yeah, you're right.
But we'll give them an info page.
Great.
Yeah.
People can just know.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so that's that. I'm doing work for an external company and creating a course for an external company, but that has a hard deadline of May.
Mm.
So, and I just trust. When there's hard deadlines, it's so easy for me to do because, like, you have to do it.
Yes.
Then there's a few payments. Again, they have to happen,
we'll
and they're on the board.
That's
we will
fine.
We will pay these people.
Yes.
Now let's look at content. Ooh, there's some really bold content goals at the moment.
Yeah. Two YouTube per week.
I would love to be able to do two YouTube per week. So what I would like to do is just have one kind of work with me, like just work with me
like
sessions.
Super easy, low.
Super easy.
Not tension, low. Barrier.
Yeah, low barrier. Like, just record me working and putting it up. It's kind of ASMR, kind of just like encouraging anyone who wants to create with me to create with me.
Lovely.
And then another YouTube, which we give to Paul to edit, which is more of like, let's talk.
Fantastic.
Then one podcast per week. And we really, really want to take the podcast much more seriously. We were even looking at, this is just a business meeting that we've let people come to, and
it's
I love
nice,
it.
Yeah.
We had a meeting this week with a podcast production company in Oxford who, like, we could have gone to their studio and, you know, recorded there. They could have recorded the video. They would have done everything. It would have been nice to get out the house, and we're definitely still not decided on it, but their big package was just too expensive.
Like, it would be us going, we want to make this a top 0.1% podcast in the world, and we want to make money from it.
Yeah.
That would be the only way to justify it, basically.
Yeah, because the cost per episode would be huge.
Yes, yes. And also, we were saying to each other, I don't know if it's what you guys want anyway.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of you would be kind of weirded out if we became this super polished, where they edit all the audio, cut out all the flab. I think that it would be all a weird flab. Direction.
It would be like, they'd be like, one minute the podcast
Your podcast is 1 minute.
It's the intro.
It's just the intro. Okay.
So yeah, but again, we were trying to find ways that we could prioritize the podcast and have some sort of accountability, because again, you know, no one's asking us. I mean, we know that you guys like the podcast and we're so grateful for you, but no one's telling us to do it, you know, and the podcast is nearly always the first thing that goes, and we want to prioritize it because we love getting to connect with you on here.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like our favorite thing to do, but as you say, because no one is actually, it is cute because when we don't post for a few weeks, so many of you message us and say, hey guys, really excited for the next episode.
Which, so lovely.
We love.
Yeah.
But it is just, I don't know, because it's like a catch up with friends where you just keep putting it off.
Yeah,
like,
keep postponing.
Actually, you know, I can't. I really want to, but sorry, I'm so sorry. I can't do Tuesday anymore. Like, can we push it back to next Thursday? And then they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do Thursday. And then you just go back and forth.
I think we really struggle with the tech as well. Like, we have been having these issues with the mics. Like, whenever we pull up our Shure mics, they've been really fiddly as well. They are good, but they're just like really cumbersome.
It's a big, chunky piece of machinery. Yeah. You have to untangle all the cords and you have to get clear space and stuff. So it's more like setting up a studio when you want to do the Shure mics.
Yeah.
Which is why we bought the fucking Rode mics. To be easy, and then they fucked us. So Rode, fuck you, Rode.
We've never been so mean to a company. I've actually never been mean to a company in my life.
Obviously, like, they look, they seem
actually,
they have a really sweet instructional video with a really, I don't know, it's just such a cute instructional video on YouTube, and I'm like, how can I hate you?
We can't hate her.
She's so sweet.
I just remembered that I was really mean about WordPress one time.
Oh yeah, you struggle with them.
I struggle with WordPress.
Anyway.
So these are my content goals. YouTube 2 times a week, podcast 1 time per week, broadcast, which I just started my broadcast channel on Instagram, and I'm sending a love note every morning to anyone who wants to join in that space. I think a lot of the times it's going to be a voice note, but sometimes it might be a little written message, and it's just a space for you to connect with your creativity every day. I want to be like your creative mama, coach, what did Phyllis call me? Your artist whisperer.
Yeah, artist whisperer.
Very sweet.
So sweet.
And so you get a little pick-me-up every day. So I want to do that once a day. This one's a big one for me. I want to do like a speaking reel once a day as well as a static post once a day.
Yeah. And if we could talk about that, it's because, as I was saying earlier, Amy is incredibly fucking good at teaching live.
Mm.
And people who follow her Instagram often don't know this.
Yeah.
And so then they come to a masterclass and they're like, oh, whoa, Amy's actually good.
Yeah.
Rather than just this kind of ethereal beauty who writes signs on Instagram. Oh,
thank you, James. That's lovely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're just wanting to make sure people know that I can speak, because I would love to be able to do more speaking. Like, I love to speak. Like, I love getting to go up there and just talk about my favorite thing in the world. Are you being rude?
No. Yes.
So that's the content plan for the week. And, like, ideally, like, I've got other things I want to do, but I know that already this is really pushing it. Especially with the YouTube 2 times a week.
And, you know, we know ourselves. We know we're going to get tired. We know we're going to need a break. This thing won't happen every week. And I think it's just about being gentle with yourself when that does happen, and kind of knowing. We know that in advance. We're so good at that now, you know. There's going to be a point in this year where I have a breakdown and I have to take a month off. And I know Gary's probably listening to this going, you know, you could have taken care of your nervous system in advance. I know. I want to. I will. Just the problem with me is it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. It's like I just slightly overcook it and I'm done.
Yeah, it is hard. You're a sensitive soul.
I mean, you can look at my to-do list is like write one book, and Amy's is like do all this stuff. And Amy just does have more capacity than me. And I think that's just something that is true. Some people
have more social capacity. I have more capacity for work.
I also have more capacity, I think, for something that I like about myself. Is I'm really good at absorbing information. And that doesn't seem like work often.
Yeah, you're incredibly good at
that. My job is to read a bunch of books, synthesize them, and basically tell you about them. I mean, and then maybe recommend some of them for you to then read yourself.
Yeah, you're like sorting through the crap and I only get to read the good.
I'm your research assistant, but that can't be structured because it's like, I just read whatever I'm interested in that week.
Yeah.
And then some of those become relevant to work and some of them don't.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That's so true.
So
yeah, and I love that. And a lot, I was thinking of actually having up on this whiteboard, like, what am I reading this week? What am I listening to this week? And like understanding that I've got like consumption to take priority. Like I want to be making sure that I'm on top of, like, not in a bad way, not in like you've got to do this, but like I love fucking reading and listening to podcasts and books. Like this has to be a priority. And I was thinking of actually having a list of stuff I want to read during the week.
We really need to get you and make sure that you are doing lots of puzzles. Mm. That might seem completely irrelevant, but that's because Amy always listens to audiobooks when she does puzzles.
Yeah, and it's a really great way for me to restore myself.
And go for walks.
Yeah, and we're going to walk a lot more.
Yes.
In this season of our life.
Yeah, maybe if we are done or when we are done with work goals, we could talk a little bit about non-work goals.
Yeah, lovely. So that was really, that's all on my board right now. I don't know how much more together I put. I'm glad we have those dates for the IC, for the Inspire Collective free class and for the San Fran thingy. I think something that I need to do, and I've always been very specific about journaling. I've always said no to-do lists in your journaling. It's always been my only rule because I think, you know, a lot of people can just, you know, kind of hijack the journaling process with just to-do lists. Ironically, I think I need time. Maybe it's not in my journal, but maybe after my journaling, where I just like, okay, today this is the things I focus on. And I write down silly things like I'm writing for this long, I'm doing this, because I feel like I can get very, I'm too at sea at points.
I love that for you because consistently the things that you put in your journaling are what ends up happening in your life.
Yeah, that's so true.
I'm not saying you generally, I'm saying you, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when I write, it becomes.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, beautiful.
Maybe at the end. I often do to-do lists in my journaling. Not to-dos. What I actually do is I say what I accomplished that day. And that's, but when I say accomplished, I don't mean work goals. I mean, I went for a walk or I made a nice meal for Amy or, you know, these sort of things. And I might say I wrote or I meditated.
That's a good way to keep track of you actually doing stuff.
I played PlayStation or me and the boys got a win in Fortnite. These sort of things. I just put all of it in my journaling as a, yeah. And I think, it helps me to keep track of what I'm prioritizing, I think.
Yeah, interesting. I like that.
Which is nice.
Okay, cool. What about non-work goals? So, I mean, we've already kind of talked about books and reading.
I just wanted to do a little coda to that section there and to takeaways for you, the listener at home.
Oh, lovely.
Or as I called you earlier, the reader.
The reader.
Takeaways. You know, you can see Amy and I are running a business that makes us a good income, basically out of thin air. And you don't have to have a 10-year plan. You don't have to be incredibly organized. Like, you can be very slapdash. You can just, all doing that for us, what that does is just puts things front of mind. And that plan is going to change. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we almost do one of these every few weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just reprioritizing, reassessing. Yeah. And then things kind of just naturally fall into place after that.
Yeah. We hate our accountant.
Sorry, Rachel, if you're listening.
But I just love knowing how much Rachel is not listening to this.
Oh, she doesn't give a fuck about us.
Anyway, the other day she was like, so what's your business plan? What's your 10-year plan? She was like, what's happening next? Like, how are you going to make millions of dollars? And I was like, fuck you. Fuck.
It was like she didn't think we were serious people until we made at least $1 million. And I was like, what? Why are we talking to you?
She was like, what's your 10-year plan? And I was like, I don't know. Just keep writing books. And I do want this bizarre podcast to just let you know that, like, you can be very... I mean, you don't have to be honor the way you work, but this is how we work. We work in a very chaotic, in the moment, okay, let's do this, let's do that, with a very grounding creative practice that sits every day in our lives. But a lot of the stuff around it is very last minute. And it works for us.
It works for us really well.
Yeah, it does.
It's great. I love it.
And we don't need a 10-year plan, Rachel.
Also, you don't need to grow. And as I've said earlier, I'm not super concerned with growing our revenue either.
Talk to me.
You know, I think it's nice. It would be nice to continue to make money, but we've never focused on metrics like that. We've never been like, we must grow X percent this year or anything like that.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot that we didn't really talk about Maud in that section.
Oh, yeah. In what? In the catch-up section?
No. I kind of feel like I just want to do stuff with Regrettably I'm About to Cause Trouble.
Let's
at the moment.
Let's brag for a second. Regrettably I'm About to Cause Trouble is doing incredibly well. Incredibly, incredibly well. It is getting read by hundreds and hundreds of new people every month. Maybe thousands, so hard to know. And it is not, and the amazing thing about it is it's almost all word of mouth. Like, it's not, consistently people are like, I stumbled across this book, or my friend told me to read this book.
It's nothing to do with Inspired to Write.
Like, not a single person reading this book basically seems to know who I am, is, which is amazing.
It's amazing. It's been so beautiful. And obviously, like, this book started because of the support of people from Inspired to Write. And I'm so fucking grateful, because I think that's, like, what triggers a lot of this. But it has been going so beautifully, just, like, finding its people, finding its way. And I'm going to claim a tiny bit. I think it's because of the title. People read the title, Regrettably, I'm About to Cause Trouble, and think, yeah, you know what? I could take that. And so it's been so beautiful, just, and also the audiobook has been doing so well, which is double the compliment, because as a narrator, people have been so kind about my narrating skills, and I'm not a professional audiobook reader. And so that's been so lovely, because I love doing it, and it was so much fun, and I love that people love it. But it makes me feel like we've got to get on to something, you know, like, how can we take advantage of this? Like, she's doing so well on her own. Can we give her a little bit more of a push? Can we support her anyway? Or do we just trust and let her go?
I'm leaning on trust, because I think it's a light touch has really worked for us so far.
Yeah, it has.
And it's sort of just a flywheel now. Like, that's the amazing thing about art, is it word of mouth still works.
Still works, yeah, it really does.
And if you can just put a little bit of effort in the beginning and get a little push off, then let that flywheel can really go.
Art speaks for itself a little bit.
And if you guys don't know what a flywheel is, it's something, and I'm going to get this wrong, but something where at the start, you know, you pull at this flywheel. You put energy into it, and at first it's really, really hard. It's like you have to do a few really big pulls. Like a rowing machine is a good example of this. And then as you get the wheel going, it creates its own momentum. And suddenly, and then you have to put less and less and less effort in to keep the wheel going.
Yeah.
And it just keeps building up speed by itself almost.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is what a lot of creatives are talking about, and who feel like they are desperately wanting their art to speak for themselves rather than them having to constantly promote it, which I do understand. This is really my first experience of anything, of any product I've ever made, selling itself.
Yes.
Which is amazing. And it has been really freeing, because...
I would refute that, because I think a lot of our early sales for our courses and our books were people sharing them amongst themselves as well.
You think so?
Yeah.
I felt like I just was constantly sharing and pushing them.
Well, I would have never been good at that, to be frank.
I've tried.
I know you have tried, but compared to a lot of other people, I think we've never been that good at that.
What about my journaling course? I pushed it so hard at the beginning.
Yeah, you did. And now people are still buying it to this day with very little effort.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, I think what I want to do is I want to make a post about Regrettably and share some of these reviews and stuff.
I think you should. I think just little things like that are great.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the big things are some, you know, a big YouTuber, booktuber.
Her name is Emmy Reads. I'm really grateful for
that. And then, like, bam, that day, you know, within the next few days, we got, you know, 100 Kindle Amazon sales.
Yeah.
Just like that. And it's little things like that, you know, and then those 100 people read it and say 20 of them love it, and then they tell 5 people. Mm. And you get another 100 sales, and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And Goodreads has been popping. It's been beautiful to watch Goodreads pop off. What a great platform for authors.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, maybe we just, like, slightly touch it, but we leave it and trust it to do its own thing.
Mm.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
It makes me so delighted.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, if you're still interested in what our non-work goals are.
What are they?
Just to build on our fitness goals, maybe.
Yeah.
I find it extremely easy to have fitness goals, but Amy doesn't. Fitness has been part of my life. I've been jogging and going to the gym since I was 12 years old.
So cute.
5 times a week.
So cute.
I often joke, Amy often jokes, that my body type is Henry Cavill on the off season. You know, where he's not, he knows he doesn't have a shoot coming up for 6 months. He's eaten whatever he wants. You can see the muscle below there, but you can't really see the definition. And I think that's where I'm happy with that. As I said, I want to lose a bit of weight for health reasons, but I'm pretty happy with that. All I wanted to be doing.
I mean, Henry Cavill on the off season, what a fucking compliment.
It's nowhere
near
as good as that. But. I'm a stockier, more naturally muscular, but also naturally carry, like, I carry bulk on my frame very easily, which I like. I've always liked. I was a rugby player, very much helped my rugby game.
Mm.
Now as I get older, I'm not playing rugby so much anymore, and it's just I want to prioritize that a little bit.
Yeah.
And basically the only thing I want to do is, and absolutely just bro sciencing this, let's be frank, we do have a trainer. So we have a trainer we pay to do our gym program. And we have a running coach who we pay to do our running program. So we're very scientific about it, but we're not. but our coaches are.
Yeah.
So we have professionals who do these things for us. And I think so many people try to get into an exercise habit. They're like, I'm just going to wing it. But I'm someone who's been doing this for 20 years now, and I still ask for help for this shit.
I think, again, it's like, well, this is not what we do.
No.
Just because we practice it doesn't, it's not what we do, you know, and it's so nice to have support there. People who are so passionate about it, yeah. And who it's their whole lives, and it's so nice to be guided by them and also to have their support.
And like, you don't have to, we don't have a trainer on the ground.
No.
That's extremely expensive. You know, what we do is we ask these people to write us programs.
Yeah.
So it's like you pay essentially the equivalent of one training session per month for them to write you the programs. And then you know when you go to the gym exactly what to do. So all I want to do, I've changed my program around from strength to muscle development, which actually...
Hypertrophy,
which actually paradoxically will help me to lose weight.
Yeah.
Because I'll increase my metabolic rate, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, I don't... Once again, I'm not a scientist. I only basically understand how this works. So that's what I'm just going to stick to my new workout schedule, and I'm going to run 3 times a week.
Beautiful. And for me, I'm really just focusing on bringing up my protein in terms of food. I want to eat a lot more vegetables. And then, yeah, I'm just going to be in the gym a lot more, basically just looking at strength and hypertrophy so I can get big guns. I want big guns.
Yeah, I think we want you to get close to like the CrossFit Games athlete aesthetic.
I want someone to look at me, look at my arms specifically, and be like, holy shit.
She big.
That girl is big.
Yeah.
I think, again, I love this, like, it's like an inverse narrative for me, because like, no, when I was younger, like, I never wanted to say, oh my God, I wish I could get as big as I possibly can get. Like, and it feels so rebellious, and it feels so empowering for me to say, I want to, like, people look at me and be like, fuck, that chick's like, she's bopping.
Yeah. 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 You were saying you want to go on this podcast in May.
Yeah.
And sit there and someone
with my giant arm.
Her arms are so jacked.
Just a little bit of vanity sprinkled in, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to have big biceps.
You know, we've always been very big on mind and body, you know?
Yeah, we have.
We always see ourselves as both a body and a mind.
Yeah.
Together.
The author in particular is a very, I don't know, I guess it's a stereotype, but I see it all the time. They think they are only cerebral beings. They think they are only the mind. And we forget that we are bodies, and that we have this incredible vehicle that we get to take care of and love and treat and fuel in beautiful ways. And it's fucking important for our art.
I completely agree. I mean, I feel so much better when I'm exercising regularly, and I hate to say this phrase, but like eating well, whatever that fucking means. I mean,
whatever that means to you.
It's, what I basically mean by that is trying to get my vegetables in.
And not nourishing yourself.
Yeah, nourishing myself. Like essentially just trying to eat more whole foods.
Yeah.
To use the big buzzword of the moment.
God, it's a really difficult discussion have, because there's just, you know, I'm very aware that like it can be quite triggering for people, and I'm very aware as well that there's just like so much fucking bullshit about it.
Yeah, so much misinformation and too much information, or you know, 1 week it's this thing's the best food you can eat, next week it's this thing. So I think just for us trying to simplify it and just going, what, you know, almost like intuitive eating, everything's a fucking buzzword. Yeah. It's like just going, we know what feels good for us when we eat it.
Yeah, very personal.
Personally.
Yeah.
And trying to eat more of that, and obviously still treating ourselves and still enjoying meals out and still eating other stuff we want to do, but just to the extent that it's going to support our goals.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Any other side goals? I mean, I really want to read a lot more, but that interplays with work so much.
Yeah, it does.
We said we wanted to have reading sessions together.
That'd be nice.
And James said he wants me to lead it.
Yeah.
So that's tricky.
Because I often want to read in the evening, like say between 7 and 9. But
that's when I'm at my weakest.
Yes, that's when Amy's at the... And also then Amy wants to put the TV on. And I, because I'm autistic, can't focus on two different sound streams. Like, if a sound is on, that's it. Like brain wave. If I'm hearing human words from somewhere, there's no way I'm fucking reading.
I'm not trying to be angry at you.
I'm just talking about a reality of my brain.
Yeah, I understand. I just... you know, like I can't take my supplements in the evenings because I have no willpower. I can't do work in the evenings because I have no will. Like, I can't meditate in the evenings because like this is when I'm at my very weakest and the willpower is at the lowest. So it's just harder for me to like have, you know, be the one that says let's read at 8:30 because I'm a little dick at 8:30.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, we'll just work
and
at that.
Also, obviously, I could just leave the room and go read somewhere else, but I want to be near my baby.
That's very nice of you. Beautiful. Thank you for joining us for our meeting. I mean, I feel pretty good, I think.
Yeah, great.
We didn't really discuss when I'm going to fit in these YouTubes, and we didn't actually really discuss the content stuff, but yeah, whatever.
I kind of got bored.
You got bored?
Classic me in a meeting, right? Like, you really only can get me for 20 to 30 minutes in a meeting.
I've had you for 50 and because we're on a podcast. And you usually
have to trick me by getting me to go out for food.
Yeah, it's hard to keep James in a meeting. Anyway,
I would be so unemployable. This is what I always say. I'd be so unemployable because if you tried to get me to a meeting in an office job, I'd just be making excuses left, right, and center.
There are other reasons.
There are so many other reasons. I keep thinking lately, like, what if someone tried to hire me and was like, come and work at this corporation. We'll make you the chief creativity officer and we'll pay you $1 billion a year. Like, would I do it?
I don't know, James.
And I always imagine the negotiation, me being like, I set my own schedule. I work, only do the work that I'm required to do. Like, all these sort of things. And then
I don't think you should do it.
I agree.
I don't think you should do it.
In this hypothetical situation that's never going to happen.
No, and I don't think I should do it either if they offered me that. No. I don't think we'd have a very good life.
Yeah.
No. Thank you for being at our meeting today.
So fucking random.
It wasn't random. It's our life. And okay, I'm so grateful that you got to be with us as we kind of processed a few things. Thank you for loving us and supporting us.
I guess I do feel a little bit embarrassed about how much we ramble on our podcast, but you're all still here listening. So who's the chump? I mean, who's the chump? Is it me or is it you? I think it's you. No offense to you, but you're a chump. Because I just wasted 50 minutes of your life.
We didn't, James.
I know. I love
you
all.
Back yourself.
I know. Hopefully it was valuable. I think it's valuable just to see that we are random.
I think watching other creatives work, is we don't get to see other creatives' processes a lot, especially like businesses. So I think it is valuable because I think a lot of us are like, is this how I'm meant to do it? Like, I mean, for me, I have no idea. Like, I'm like, is anyone else's process look like this? Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall on so many other people's days who create for a living or who create part-time. Like, I want to see it.
And imagine when we are Hugo award-winning writers, New York Times best-selling writers, and we can go, well, you can just go back and listen to us talk about how we got our books done in the early days.
Exactly.
Go listen to our podcast episode where we literally just tell you.
Exactly.
And it's like a true, because when people go back and they try and remember those things, they always
narrativize it. They remember it wrong, yeah.
But I'm telling you, we're just telling you how it is right now.
It's a good point, James. Okay, my loves, please take care of yourself this week. Treasure yourself. Do what you need to do. Your process is your own process. I've got a sign next to me that says, if you choose to be an artist, your life will look different to everyone else's. And that is hard. And it is also really beautiful. I feel like that's a perfect way to end this.
I agree. I love you all.
Thank you all for listening. Guys. Thank you, creatives.
Thank you for staying with us for 51 minutes. Somehow.
Press stop.
Goodbye.